Hey, 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 everyone. This is Mika Ray. Welcome to the G-Spot. And Keys, are you on?
Yes, I'm here in the flesh.
Hi, Keys. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing?
I am well. You sound sleepy. Are you sleepy?
Man, it's been a long day. I've just been There's been a lot going on, but I'm not really sleeping, not yet anyway. I'm actually pretty up. Maybe it's just how I came out, but I'm actually wide awake.
You wide awake?
a little English lesson, yeah. I'm wide awake. Yeah.
Now, if anybody reads my Facebook page, they know the biggest thing I talk about is grammar. Okay.
Really?
I'm always talking about grammar. Yes. Always.
Okay. Good.
But,
that's good.
I'm just messing with you. So tonight,
okay.
Everyone, we are talking sexual partners and numbers and how many numbers are too many. And, you know, some people, they lie. And they have their set number that they tell everyone, oh, yeah, I've only had about 5 partners, when it may have been about 50 to 100. And so they lie. So I really want us to kind of talk about it. How many partners are too many? Is there such a thing as too many partners when it comes to, I guess, being in a relationship with someone? Do you want to know how many partners your lover has had? Why or why not? So I really want us to get deep into the conversation. So we welcome you all to Blog Talk Radio, WJBR Internet Radio Show. And I appreciate everyone who is listening to me tonight. And Keys, while I look for this song, do you have anything you want to say in relation to this topic?
I think it's double standard, but we'll talk about it a little bit later.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that there are definitely some double standards out there when it comes to, men can have, if a man has about 100 partners, he's considered like this big-time player. And
Right,
but when a woman has 100 partners... She's considered a hoe, So, but I also want to know when does she become a hoe? How many partners did she have before she's considered a hoe?
Well, you know what? In honest to God, it actually depends on how she do it too, because you can have like maybe 50 partners within a 10-year time span. It'll be different to have that amount of partners within that time frame opposed to 50 in a month, so all that will make a difference. If you got a girl that sleep with all your friends, and I mean it's only 10, but he's sleeping with the whole crew in a week and stuff like that, that's you get the wrong name put out about yourself. So I guess it depends on how many you have within a certain time span as well.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. The time frame, because if we're living to 78, so there is a good chance we're going to have a pretty good partners. At least some people, at least 20. I would say 20.
Mika, I'm sorry, but you're kind of breaking up. I barely understood what you were saying.
Am I?
Yeah, you're breaking up on this end.
You hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better.
A little bit better? Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
still
know
a little breaking up
on.
In there, though.
Okay, well, when I find the song that I'm trying to find, where it went, then I can try to work on going on with this audio.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll work on it. Play something, and then we'll record the audio while I play this. Okay?
All right.
Good. goodness, 1 second. And while I'm looking for this song, everyone, if you have something to say, please press the button. And I will bring on. Just play this one song because again, I found an other song. It's a million. Now.
All right, all right. I want to welcome everybody back. Tonight, subject is about having multiple partners. Mika Ray is currently having technical difficulties, so I'll be speaking on her behalf until she's ready to tune back in. So how many problems is too many partners is what we're talking about, and I guess that will pretty much vary depending on what you like and what you don't like. Me personally, it will make a big difference to me, and I'm not sure. I don't really have a number, but if a female was to tell me out of the blue she had 50 partners, that's something I'd be truly alarmed about. And then it just depends on, as I mentioned earlier, the time frame and when she had these multiple partners. So if anybody got anything to say on the matter, please feel free to notify Mika, and she'll ping you in to go ahead and make a comment. All right? So I know one of the main issues about having multiple partners is the fact that you are also actually being involved in having a higher risk of sexually transmitted diseases and things of that nature. Also, just feeling kind of funny about the fact that every time if I have a female, if I'm dealing with a girl, if I go out with her and she has a male friend, it's going to always be in back of your mind, is that one of the guys that she had this encounter with?
Me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm back. This is Mika.
Okay.
And
okay.
Nadia is on here, too. Nadia, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. So thank you, everyone, for being patient as we work that issue out. Can you all hear me better now?
Yes. I hear you a lot better. Now, did you hear anything I said?
Yes. Thank you.
Because I kind of wanted some feedback on that. Now, that's okay. I just wanted some feedback on that.
Okay. So you said that you wouldn't necessarily have an issue. No, you said that if they had multiple partners and they had a male friend, you would constantly worry about if that male friend was someone they slept with?
Well, I could tell you this. Because I have dated a couple girls who was promiscuous in the past, and you know, they'll say, yeah, that's my friend. And then you always have in the back of your mind, like, okay, is this one of them dudes, you know, she's been with and all this kind of, I mean, it's just a funny show. And then I dated this girl who said she had, you know, let her boyfriend or her friend run a train on. I mean, it was just like one of them things.
Oh, goodness. If it was one of the people she slept with, would that change you wanting to be worried or not?
I don't know. I guess it depends on how much I like her, too. You know, and it's just an uncomfortable feeling. You know, I don't know how to explain it. So, I mean, have you ever been put in that predicament before?
No.
I've never been in that situation. This is my thing. Well, no, let me take that back. I have been placed in that situation before. I am the type of person that I don't believe in, if this person is your ex, I don't really necessarily agree with this person being your friend too, because I will think about, oh my gosh, you slept with this person has seen you naked, they know what I experience when I have sex with you, and that bothers me a little bit. But with my current, when I got into the relationship that I'm in, I had that was something that we talked about, because all of their friends were.
So you wouldn't be friends with your ex?
No, I'm not going to be friends with my ex. As a matter of fact, with my exes, I tear up all their pictures. I tear up their letters.
Damn,
you
serious?
I throw everything away. I don't want to be their friend. I don't want to talk to them anymore. I don't have anything else to do with them. That's just me.
Well, I think it depends on the type. I haven't broken up with anybody on bad terms. So my exes were my friends, and that was just something that the next person I dated needed to deal with. But at the same time, I've only had, like, 3 serious relationships. So, you know, it's not, I don't have, like, a lot of experience to talk on, but to speak of, but I definitely feel like if I'm good with that person, I mean, sometimes people can really be good friends and realize that the relationship isn't what they need, but the friendship is. And as long as there's a respect, then I personally don't see what the problem is.
But there's I just want to say this real quick. We have a caller that's going to come on real fast, so I want to hear what this caller has to say. But hold your thought, Keys, okay? Like, put a pinpoint there.
All right.
Please. Okay. So this is, hang on. Let me see which one of these callers. I want to make sure I get the person in here. Okay, so this is 3205. Hello, 3205.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Oh, that's 3205.
This 3205. How y'all doing?
We good.
Good. I just have a question. So, I think it's kind of hypocritical, some of the shit that y'all saying. Excuse my French. But, you know, so now I know at some point in time that we have all obtained a new friend. And we got into a relationship, and sometimes that friend that you have met might have had a girlfriend or had a boyfriend, but you don't care. So your objective is, because you're attracted to that person, you know, you're trying to, you know, get to know them and trying to, you know, either date them or either trying to get in their pants, sleep with them, whatever the case may be, Keys. And so so you disregarding the fact that they have a boyfriend already or girlfriend, whatever the case may be, but yet you still pursuing them. So they going home to a person or they're sleeping with a person, you know, every night or every other night, but yet you still sleeping with them and trying to, you know, get in and do whatever you can with them. So they have another partner, but yet you still willing to have sex with them in spite of that. And then, like I said, mm-hmm. It's so key. You mentioned also that if you know about the situation, you might not know about it immediately, but you know that that person is as attractive as that person might be. You know that that person have been with more than one person in their lifetime. So, mm-hmm. So how hypocritical is that? So the thing is, in my opinion, it's all about being an adult. So is it something that you're willing to deal with? So which means if you get to know that person and that person tell you I've been with 10, 15, 20 people, is that something you can deal with?
So let me bring this up, though, because you're right. If they're attractive, of course they will have more than one person. But there's a difference between dating an attractive woman who slept with 20 guys in a week opposed to 20 guys in 3 or 4 years, you know.
I definitely
so
agree.
So you look at her, different. I'm sorry. You look at her different.
Well, here's my thing, Keroy. Keroy, for you, why isn't that set your boundaries? My boundary is I know my husband has slept with other women. I know I'm not the first person he slept with. I know he has friendships with other women. My thing is when we walk into a room, please let me know if there's somebody in here ahead of time that you have slept with. I'm not on the trip. Because I do understand, but females are very slick, and they very slick at the mouth. I'd rather be caught off guard by some chick. So I don't care if she's in the room. I don't care if she's my server. I don't care if we sit next to each other. That doesn't bother me. It would bother me if I didn't know. So maybe if you set that boundary with your girl, if you're okay with knowing that she has multiple partners, 50 so you say, just be like, yo, are we walking into a room with anybody that you've been with? You know, I just want to know, so I'm just ready. It doesn't have to be a big deal. But, you know,
I guess it's
uncomfortable when you don't know and you have to assume. But if I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you and I'm like, okay, I know this isn't one of these people, then you're not uncomfortable anymore.
Mm. I don't know. I don't really agree with that piece of it too much, but I don't disagree either.
So you wouldn't
want to
know?
I feel like this. Well, let me just say, that was the old thought process, because now I am friends with C-Ray's exes. I'm friends with those exes, and I'm okay with them. But, you know, at times, it was very uncomfortable, and I don't necessarily like it. So it's
this year. Is it an insecurity?
No, it has nothing to do with an insecurity. It's just that I just think it's uncomfortable. I don't want to be around somebody that you have slept with. I just don't. I just don't think it's, if it's like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that's different because you probably didn't forget about what it was like, you know, how it felt, all that stuff. But if it's like a year ago, 6 months ago, no, I don't want to be around that ex at all. Mm. And I'm going to bring on another caller. Hang on real quick. And Chuck is on mute, but I'm going to bring him back on in just a second because he had a lot of background noise. Okay, this is 8309.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Man, I got a lot to say on this subject, boy.
Oh, well, get it out.
I'm a masculine female in the LGBT community, and I'm 35 now, but when I was younger, I started having sex when I was about 14, 15. And I think that's one thing y'all missing as well is that
what time frame
did this person start having sex? You know? And what are we calling sex? Because back then, I was calling sex just kissing and playing around. You know, so how are you tallying it up? Is it just masturbating with somebody? Is it, you know, intercourse, like inserting yourself in someone? You know, like what is sex defined as? And as I got older and I started interacting with different women and getting in real relationships, it's always been a problem for me because I have been with so many women and I would say 85-90% of the women that's in my life are women that I've had sex with. And it's a lot of people, you know, and it can become frustrating to a partner to always feel like maybe she's, I've been told, I feel like I have to compete because everyone loves you so much and they care about you and you guys have shared so many different things. It makes me kind of feel inadequate in some ways because I don't know if I can match up to the type of love that y'all have for each other or the type of care and concern that y'all have for each other. And no matter how much I show them that it's just a friendship and I want to involve you, you know, I'm not segregating you or saying that I'm just going off and hanging with these people. We can all hang together. Y'all can hang out by y'allself, get to know each other. You know, we can all be cool. Some women just don't understand that dynamic. But then on the other hand, I'm kind of hypocritical because when I'm dealing with certain women and I start falling for them and I love them and I'm like meeting these other studs and they like, oh, well, yeah, we used to be together or we used to, you know, do whatever. I kind of feel some kind of way, like, hold up. You mean to tell me y'all ain't doing nothing now? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I kind of feel some kind of way, and I have to pull myself back and say, all right, now, you can't be like that with her. You got to look at the foundation that you build with the person, and a lot of times we don't build positive foundations with the women or men that we deal with. We start out at 120 when we really need to start at zero, you know?
Right.
Communication and really truly expressing yourself, and we can say all day that we don't care about something or we care, but really we do. But we're so caught up on worrying about how they're going to feel about us, are we presenting our best self, that we're really not presenting our true self. And I'm totally the culprit. Man, I'm the culprit of that, you know, but it's acknowledging it and working on it and saying, you know what, regardless of how upset they get or if they don't want to talk to me anymore, I still got to let these numbers out and say, hey, I ain't got an exact number because it's 2 minutes. Or I'm not that experienced. Go ahead.
But my question is, why does it at this age, I'm 32, so why at this age does it really matter? I know you're a sexually active adult. At this age, all I care about is do you have an STD? What does it matter how many people you slept with? Do you have an STD? That's all that I'm really concerned about. Like,
I haven't been asked that question in so long. I can't even remember when someone asked me how many partners. But what they do ask is, you're hanging around, like, say it's a guy. You know, I would say I'm equivalent to, like, the guy in a relationship. So when I'm around feminine women and I'm with somebody I'm talking to, they say, man, y'all kind of close. Y'all been together before? And then other questions arise. Well, how many, you know, people in this room you've been with? And our community is small, so it's a little bit different. Like, everyone knows everybody. So
right.
It presents
everybody
a whole other problem.
But you brought up a good point when you said that you're hypocritical, because that kind of goes back to what Keith was saying earlier, how there is a double standard. Like, even if we think about you, like you said, you identify yourself as a masculine female, and then we have the men who feel like, oh, you know, I can have 70, 80 partners, and it's okay. But let that female say that she's had 70 or 80 partners, it becomes a huge issue. She's a hoe, she's a skank, and all this kind of stuff.
Right. I think it's how she presents herself as well. Because I've been with women that were, you know, said to be the go-get-it girl or the it girl in the community or whatever. And the way she presents myself is a total lady. You know, I don't see hoish tendencies or, you know, things. You can read people and kind of feel energy off of them when you're around them, or you see them interact with another guy or girl. You can kind of feel it off. I'm like, man, she's really flirtatious. Or, you know, why does she always have to dress this way and present herself to everyone else? One, while she's with me, or even while she's away from me. You know, you can kind of read that off of people. So I think it's just paying attention to who you're dealing with and not looking at the smoke screen that they put up or the smoke screen you put up for them because you just want them so bad.
That makes sense. Keith, what you think about Nadia saying that she only worry about if you have an STD? She don't care how many sex partners.
She have a point in the way. I mean, that is the most important thing if they have like an STD. But more than anything, if I'm with somebody, I would just like to be with somebody who don't have half Atlanta who didn't have it too. That's my whole thing. Whether she had an STD or not, I won't walk around and niggas like, man, oh shit, I didn't have that shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's just me. I like to be kind of more of an exclusive type. I like to have more exclusive type girl. And as one of the callers said, if she fine, of course she had multiple partners, but you still have the quality of women who have those partners with guys they're only in relationships with. You know, opposed to, you know, just going around just doing whatever they want to do with anybody, you know, and that's my thing. I guess it's the thought process and them having sex with these people and all that kind of stuff that matters to me, because if she had all these sex with these other guys, some of them tendencies still may be in her. You know what I'm saying? You just never know.
You know what, so though? It's not, can I say something? It's not always a tendency. Like, my issue for a long time was searching for love, right? You meet somebody, and maybe it's at a club, a lounge, or wherever you meet them, and you just had this awesome, amazing connection or conversation with them. And it might lead to the bedroom that night. It may be that week or whatever. It goes where it goes, and you end up having sex with them. You guys end up not making anything out of it, and then you on to the next one, and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to try to save myself. You know, and I mean, let's be real. The majority of the time, there's drinking involved. There may be smoking if people smoke or whatever. And emotions fly. Things may be happening in your life that you're not even realizing that you're acting on. You may need to be nurtured at that time. It may be some stress factors that's making you feel like you want to latch on to this person. You may have gone through a breakup or anything. And sex just comes up. It's in the media, it's on TV, we're fed sex all day, every day. Where do you break that dichotomy to where as though you're not going back to that default of having sex with somebody, you know?
Okay. Let's get some numbers out there so we can really be realistic about people's sex partners. Say you started having sex when you're 18. Then you're 10 years later, you're 28. say you wait 3 months before you have sex with somebody. That's for 12 months in a year. So that's four partners a year. And let's just say you've been in a relationship. So that's what? In 10 years, that's 40 people. So let's say you've been in a relationship. Let's take 4 years off of that. So we're doing 4 years off of that is
10 partners off.
So 30 partners in 10 years. That sounds like a lot. But in reality, you're not a hoe. You know what I mean? It's only, but when you put the number out there, 30 people sounds like a lot. You know what I mean? But if you start at a sexual, you know, you see what I'm saying?
It's the time frame.
And I think that's something that makes a difference. What he said and what our caller said as well, that you have to think about the age you're starting to have sex. If you haven't started having sex at 14 and you're 30-something now, it's a good chance that you've had over 20 partners. That's
right.
Just logical. I don't care how many sexual partners you've had. My main thing is, what did you do? As long as it wasn't something crazy off the wall when you was, you know, you went into something like animal sex or something like that. As long as you ain't doing nothing crazy, I don't care how many sexual partners you've had. That's not my business. I am with Nadia. As long as you are clean, because some people can have as little as one sex partner and have AIDS or whatever. Some people can have as much as 100 partners. They ain't never had an STD in their life. So if you are clean, that's my main thing. As long as you ain't coming up with me with no STDs, I'm good. I just don't want to have to sit next to the girl that you had sex with a year ago. That's just my thing.
Let me ask you a question. So, because you said it don't matter. So if you had the option to be with a girl who'd been with 50 partners and then you had the option to be with a girl with 3, which one would you choose first?
Cuter to me, I guess.
Right. I'm about to say, who's cuter, who's doing it better? Who is cuter and who is doing it better?
Right.
Oh, snap.
Are you going to add some more variables to it? Okay. You know, but
I'm just saying, you prefer
to be with someone with less partners. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it don't matter at the end of the day if they ain't give you no disease and all. They really don't matter, and y'all right about that. But you do have a preference. You prefer
the person to be with
somebody
with
less partners. The person with less partners probably not as good as the person with more partners in it.
And that's a downside to it. And maybe that's a downside to it, you know. But then again, it may be more open than people who have multiple partners because they didn't try so many things that they kind of shut off on certain things they want to
try.
Yes,
now that's true. Some people become desensitized.
Right.
Because they
always got to up the ante to get them there because they don't need everything. Yeah, I guess I thought
that.
I can vouch for
that.
That's where I am right now. I'm so desensitized to sex. I haven't had sex since October.
Damn.
Oh, goodness.
Man, I'm tired of hearing about it. And I have people in my life that, you know, want to indulge in sex, but it's just like, it's not that important to me. I feel like it's dessert. It's not the main course. So I had to condition my mind to say, all right, well, allow sex to be a treat for you. You've had sex with all these different women, and you've equated it to you trying to find love or trying to give them a piece of you that no one else could give them. But how else can you do this? How else can you change the dynamic? You know, I mean, you wake up and you hear sex and you go to sleep and you hear it and it's frustrating. So when a woman tries to come at me sexually, a lot of times I look at her and be like, man, really? Like, this is what we doing? You know, so.
That's
understandable. But let me ask y'all a question. Do you all know why they came up with how did the double standard come about? Why do y'all feel like it's a double standard?
It's a double standard in life. Everything's a double
standard. Well, you're right, it is. But there's a reason behind that, though, don't you think?
Because
men think
are inferior to them. Because men think that women are inferior to them. And what they can do, women cannot do.
We live in a very patriarchal society. So it's like women are at a lower standard. So they don't have, they're not supposed, first off, this is what I teach women, first to gain control over their sexual desires. Because women have always been taught to that sexual pleasure is based on a man and what a man needs and what a man wants in the bedroom. So we base a lot of the things that we do in the bedroom because of what a man wants done, even in lesbian relationships. So we have to get to a place where we take control back of our own sexuality, first off. But I think that's the reason why that double standard exists.
Well, not only that, I don't think right. That's it, though. I don't think that's it. I think it's a role issue as well. You know, a lot of times in relationships we are held to these certain roles, and I hear a lot of times in the barbershop, I deal with guys all day and all night, and the main thing that they say is, "Oh well, I take care of home. All I want to do is come home, have some sex, have some food on the table, and just let me go out and do my thing and take care of the household." And that trickles down into the in the lesbian world, from what they see and how they interact with the male roles in their life and the dominant women in their life that teach them that. That's what I was taught, that I wasn't doing my job if I wasn't sexing my girl down right, or if I wasn't maintaining this certain standard of living for her. Her job is to make sure she's the backbone and she support me in whatever I got going on. You know, so I think we just have to break these roles and break these stereotypes and really get down to some grassroots and revamp everything. We can't live off of these traditions that's been held since the 1920s, 1930s. Life don't work that way anymore.
Well, that's, I agree with you. The roles come from the patriarchalness of society. That's where the roles come from.
But
so
at the same time, women play into that because we want it to be convenient. I mean,
that's
the reason why I'm
that.
Not a lesbian. I'm not a lesbian because I have too much testosterone, and I don't want to be the man in a relationship. But if I was to date a girl, I probably would be the man in a relationship, and I don't want to be responsible for paying the bill and always taking you out. And I'm always you looking at me to pay the tab. But I know because of how I am that I would probably fall into that role. But I don't want to be that role. But at the same time, women want to take it when it's necessary for them to be a woman, and then you want to turn around and be like, well, I can do what you can do. If you want to be the head of your household, if you want to go to work, if you want to do everything that you could deem a man type of situation, then you have to do everything. You can't just when it's convenient for you, and that's what the thing is. It's women are too wishy-washy. We're emotional creatures, and that's why can't nobody really take us as seriously as they need to take us. So therefore, a man feels as though, you know what, I'm providing for the house, and it always comes down to money. It always comes down to money. A woman can flex her money. If she's making more money than her husband or her man, she will take that money and hold it over his head because she feels like she's the breadwinner. So she feels like she can say what she wants to do, treat him any kind of way, because she's the one bringing the money into the situation. And a man does the same thing. They feel like because I'm bringing the money into the situation, I can do what I want to do. If I want to go fuck this bitch over there, you shut up because I have a house over your head.
Okay.
It always comes down to money.
Well, I could tell y'all this about this double standard thing from my point of view.
Yeah.
All right. You know, because
I
could just tell y'all, for guys, it's, for one thing, for y'all women, it's easier for y'all to have sex than it is guys. It's easy for y'all to get some, you know, some dick than it is for us to get some pussy, because we have to put more effort into it, and that's why we get props for it. You know what I'm saying? If you got a guy who has sex with a lot of girls, you mean either he's attractive or he put more, you know, we just got to put more effort into having sex with a girl than a girl have to with a guy. If any of y'all, you know, if any of y'all lay on the bed and open y'all lid and say, come get it, trust me, guys go come and get it. But, you know, any guy to do the same thing, he ain't going to get the same effect. And that's why it's kind of like, you know, we we looked at it as you know, kind of thugs or pimps or players, however you want to call it, that we get a lot of play when it comes to sex, opposed to the women. And with the women, y'all have more control. Y'all have more control over how much sex y'all can have than we have over it. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all can get it almost any time from anybody, just about, opposed to a man.
I know,
that's the
Yeah,
that's true.
Right,
well,
that's what I'm saying. But check it out. But anybody that's attractive and that's not, you know, that don't have no disease, nothing like that, she could pretty much get it from any guy walking the street that like women. You know,
wait a minute. Let me say something.
Hold on one second
about that being pretty. Oh. You know what, guys? I feel like I've landed on Mars or somewhere. I can't believe I'm in 2015 and we're having this conversation. Let me just point out a few, and I jotted down some things because I can't be on the phone long. But if I don't know if I even want the person or people you guys are describing, I don't know if I want you tested because you fail the application process. And there should be an application process if you're going to sleep with me, okay? So first of all, I need to know what kind of sex you've been having. I need to know who you've been with because I don't know what kind of sex life y'all have had, what you've experienced in your life, but whether you know it or not, people are have requested for me. Will you pee on me? Will you pee in my mouth?
I've never had that.
Okay, but wait a minute. But while you're saying, oh, no, that same person who asked me to do that may be your next partner or your partner's partner, so you need to ask who these people have been with. It's important. I can't tell you the number of women who are very willing to have sex while they're on their cycle, okay? And I'm not talking about just stick it in. I mean actual oral sex. They are vampires. And, okay, you can say ill, and guess what? That might be your next girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend's girlfriend. So I would advise just a little tip. I say you might want to ask these people what they've been doing prior to them getting to you, because you know what? The sex test, the test for STDs, that's not important. I've looked at your application, and I see you are just fucked up. You have slept with everybody. You've done some of everything. And if you haven't done it, let's go back to that girl who hasn't had the three partners, right? She has had one where she had sex while she was on a cycle. Another one screwed her in the butt. And the other one, they were peeing on each other. Okay, she hadn't had the three partners, so y'all going to pick her because she's cute. I would say ask her a few questions. Do you like bestiality? Have you ever and you know what? Some lesbians have a really big problem with new lesbians, the newbies that come over, you know, you've been with me informally. I want to know, did the man, was he shooting it all in your face, you swallowing it and spitting it?
I need to know that.
This is the G-spot. We can talk like this. But see, y'all like to beat around the bush with a lot of stuff, and you need to really put it out there because this kind of stuff is really, really important. It should be important. Now, let's get to this thing about having, you had how many, 50 partners in you. Okay, it may not mean you a hoe, but it means that you can't commit to shit. Why do you have so many partners in 1 year? So many different partners. I can see you having a lot of sex in 1 year with maybe one person or two people, but you got seven different people. So you've slept with everybody that those seven people have slept with. Does anybody see anything wrong with it? Y'all cool with that? If y'all cool with that, I'm cool with that.
I think it's unrealistic.
When I say you people, wait a minute, y'all don't take it all personally. I'm just saying anybody takes it all. When I say you people, doesn't necessarily mean you people on the phone, but I'm saying that you all are talking all around. I don't really care, and it's okay. People drinking pee and everything y'all talking about. I don't care who they've been with. Just so she's clean today. What does that mean? Did she take a bath? What do y'all think? Dove washes it off? I'm just confused.
Anika,
On that note, I'm going to bid you a good night. I love the show. And you all take all of that and do whatever you want to do with it. But it's definitely something, all jokes aside, no. It's something to think about. It's something that's very real. So I would advise you to just do a little research on some of the people that are dressed up in these suits and these nice dresses and all, because before I was a married person, I may have slept with one or two of them. And don't think they didn't get good by reading books and watching TV. They're good at what they do because they've done it with a lot of people. They have a lot of experience. And
that doesn't
okay
mean
that,
Shonda.
And not all the time. Not all the time.
Partner.
But nobody comes
I'm
out of the
saying
gate sucking a good dick. Nobody just comes out of the gate sucking dick good. Not normally. Nobody comes out of the gate. Oh, I just woke up this morning. This is my first coochie, and I just did a 10-plus job. That doesn't happen very often, every now and then. So if they're doing something real good, they've done it with a lot of people. And that's all I got to say. And I hope you all have a good night. I love the show.
Good night, Sarah.
Good night.
Okay, you know what? I'm taking a breather. I'm playing a song.
I'm going to bed. Night, night, y'all.
Oh, right. Good night, honey.
Bye-bye.
I'm taking a breather, Keys, and Carla, you still on the line, too? Hello? Oh, I guess she hung up then. Okay. I'm going to play Wu-Tang. And then we'll come back.
Okay, this shit is so random. And when I'm with you, it's like our heartbeats are in tandem. And when I lip lock, I just wanna hold your face for ransom. You're beautiful and I'm handsome. That'll be good for the babies. If ever we go there, maybe. It's crazy, no titles, but you're my baby. When I'm idle, that's your time, showtime. And for you, I wish I had more time. Red wine, chocolate, baby, you could be my Valentine. More than just sex exchange, baby, you my boo-thang. Hey, girl, so glad that I found you. Tell your friends, they're living without you. Got a hotel room with a view with a city that I know you gon' like. Got the candles in into the backdrop, baby, let's out inside. And ride in a two-door with the roof gone. My, oh my, baby, it's been too long. So grab your coat and your purse.
The closest thing. lights off, baby. I need you to follow my lead. I wanna make you feel good. I wanna make you feel like you never felt before. Can I do that? Boo Vision.
You're my boo thing. Can't get enough. I love your stuff. Let's turn it up. You get what you want, cause you're my boo thing. And when your friends ask, I'm not commanded, just the closest thing that you have. You a boo thing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess Shonda Rae said she had to come in and say what she had to say, make sure that we got our life. Oh, Keith,
I got my life.
You got your life?
It was an earful.
I got my life. You know what, though? That's what the beautiful thing about the show is, that everybody can have their opinions and express themselves openly. And that's why I love calling in to just hear what you guys have to say, because y'all open my eyes up to things that I didn't even think of, and you're helping me grow. And I think that's I think that's the purpose of the show, is to help people grow and learn a different way of doing things.
I definitely agree. And I want everybody to know that just like she called in, she said what she had to say, you are more than welcome to call in and say what you have to say. However, when I try to butt in there, just please hush and let me talk. Okay? We can't have everybody over talking each other. So, but other than that, this is a late night show. You say what you want to say, you say what's on your mind. Your opinion is your opinion. I don't take anything personal. I don't think anybody else take it personal. That's how you feel. So
back to the task at hand, though, about these numbers. What should I do with my numbers? Can I erase them? Can I put them in a box somewhere? Should I not tell people my numbers? Should I just keep
them secret? I wouldn't. I mean, if they won't know the difference anyway, why tell them? I mean, that's another thing. People can easily lie, you know, and say they have.
Yeah.
Are you not being honest? Is that not being true to the relationship, though, if you just lie about it?
I mean, if you really think it's going to make a difference, though, I mean, it'd be nice if they were honest to let me know the deal. But if they had, like, 100 and some partners and stuff in the past year, I'd rather not know, you know, to be honest with you. Because it's gonna make me think a little different about this particular individual. That's the God honest truth, you know. And that's all I want.
You know what? What about Superhead?
Like
those video chicks, you know, Superhead and all them, and how they get married and they got guys that are with them and it's known that they suck dick and they do all these things.
I know.
How
I mean, and that's true love. That's true love right there. You know, what could
you
say?
You mean a stripper that's real. She getting her doctorate degree, and she a good woman, but, you know, she just had to do some things to get there. Like, how do you suck that up and still love her?
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say this real quick. I do think that even though Shonda went on her little rant a little bit, she did make some valid points that we do have to make sure we talk about our sexual history. It's not really about the numbers. It's about what you are doing in your past. What type of things have you experienced? What type of, like you just said about the Superhead lady, I forget her real name, Corinne Stephens. About Corinne Stephens, she done a lot of things. And just because, you know, she's okay now, she's sucking maybe one dick a year instead of 20 a year. that's a difference now. Like, do we still consider her past, and do we allow her past to define who she is now? And I'm the type of person, that I feel like this. We're going to all have a past. It may not even be sex. It may be a drug. It may be prostitution. It may be stripping. It may be something else. We all have a past, and we cannot define people by what they have done in their past life. Like, we can change. We can get better. We can do better. And we all make mistakes. We've all done something that we're not proud of. So I don't think – I understand what Shonda was saying. It's important to know your sexual history, but I don't think that we should hold it against someone if they're not, if they're being safe in their actions now, and they aren't, you know, and they're STD free.
They probably learned from their past experience. You know, who knows?
Right. Uh-huh. They probably have learned from those experiences. We also have another caller too, so I want to bring them on because they've been holding.
All right, thank you guys for letting me talk. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to tap out. I'm still listening now.
Okay, well, thank you. We appreciate you for speaking.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, 8289, you're on.
Hey, so I just want to speak on the fact that as opposed to knowing how many people you slept with and knowing what you've done with that person, does that expose the element of surprise when you sleep with that person so you actually know what to expect when you sleep with that person? Does it take away from the sexual drive and the chemistry that you would have with that person? Like, I don't think that that would be something that I would want to know. Like, what have you done with that person? You know? So it kind of just takes away from the element of surprise.
Tell me what you mean by that so I can understand. I'm sorry.
Say, for instance, she wanted to say, she spoke on, she elaborated about how you would see that person and be with that person and, you know, have you peed on that person? Have you did this with that person? Like, what does that do for me? That takes away the element of surprise and things that I wanted to experience with that person, not knowing, going into the whole sexual experience, mind closed, and just going into it thinking that, man, this is about to be the best element of surprise, quote-unquote, experience that I've ever had with this person. You know, you just can't go into something asking, oh, so have you ever peed on somebody? Have you ever, like, you know, just put your face in it? Have you ever tossed a salad? Have you ever used spoons or knives or whatever the hell it may be? You can't just go into it asking that. So it takes away the element of surprise, what the whole chemistry of sex is going to be about.
I think that's a good point. I can see both of them. Keys, I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm about to say, I mean, I get the point as far as the element of surprise thing, too. But sometimes you do want to know how far, I mean, like me personally, sometimes I'd be wanting to know how far a woman is in reference to what would she do? I mean, because some women, they don't like to try new things or different things, you know, and I don't want to, I kind of would like to know how far a woman would go as far as doing things differently. Let's put it that way. Who will be open to trying new and different things
knowing. With knowing how much she would try things differently, you have to ask her what she has tried in order for you to get that difference.
Well,
right?
And that's true. Now, sometimes I'll say, are you open to trying different things? And they'll be like, yeah, depending on what it is.
So say for a matter, say this. She bring a spoon and some peanut butter to bed, and she slap your ass with the spoon and the peanut butter. She going to be like, oh, I've done this. This is boring. You know, how are you going to respond to it? You know, you're going to be like, oh, well, shit, she tried this, and this is boring, so what else now? You're going to
well,
be like,
well, that's the reason why you
so
should know what
fun.
She tried, though. So, for example, like what you mentioned, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking, if you already know what she tried, right, maybe you can come with something different. You know what I'm saying? That really gives
you
an opportunity.
How do you know unless you've asked her? How do you know?
Yeah,
unless
you ask her. Yeah, you have to ask her. You're
right
about that.
It takes away the element of sexual chemistry and sexual surprise in the bedroom. So you can't just go in the bedroom and be like, hey, you ever use some peanut butter and a spoon and smack the person's ass and lick the peanut butter off their ass and some shit like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that. That's just
but
that's cool.
I agree. Listen now, I agree with you. You may not want to just, I mean, the conversation, let me just take it back. This is what we have to start doing. We have to take the time to get to know people before we even engage in sex with them in the first place. So as we communicate with people, as we talk with people, as we discuss different things, those things start to come out. The things that people like to do in the bedroom comes out. The things that, not necessarily meaning that they've done it before, but you would know what they like to do.
Well,
you know if somebody is into domination.
What I gather from this show tonight is not about quantity, it's about quality. That's what I gather. So it's not about how many people you've been with, but what have you done with that person? And you're not gonna be subjective to say, hey, have you done this? Have you done that? That just takes away the element of sexual chemistry.
So, but let me ask you this though. I mean, because as you mentioned before, if you don't know what they've tried and you tried and it's boring, then what you gonna do? I mean, if she's already had that done. So sometimes it helps them know what they, like I said, sometimes you get the upper hand knowing what you've already tried, so you can try something different. Because if you don't know anything, you know, and you go in there, you thinking you're doing something different, and she look at you like you're crazy because she had it done 1,000 times, and then you just kind of call an egg on your face a little bit. So it can work both ways.
That's right. It can go both ways. So the thing is this, basically this, and I just want to make sure I understand this. Before you are engaging in sex with these people in the first place, you need to get to know them. And as you get to know people, the things they like to do in the bedroom, whether they have done it before or not, will come out because that's the part of getting to know someone. And it's not about, oh, we're going to get in this bedroom and all of a sudden I'm going to be surprised and that's going to give me the chemistry. Sexual chemistry happens regardless. If you are sexually attracted to someone and you have a sexual passion for that person, it grows as you continue to get to know them. So that chemistry and that passion is going to be there. It has nothing to do about what you're doing in the bedroom. Now, what you do in the bedroom is an act. It's the extra. It's the extra to that sexual chemistry. It's the extra to that passion. It's not what gives you the passion. It's not what gives you the chemistry. The chemistry is already there, and it continues to grow when you get to know the person and you get to learn what they like in and out of the bedroom. So you can have conversations, but you may not be asking them directly. And I know Shonda, like, she was serious. She wasn't joking, but when she was coming to PCM and stuff, I don't ask anybody if they have sex with an animal because – in normal society, you would like to think that people aren't having sex with an animal.
But if you don't ask, you don't know.
Yes.
Right. If you don't ask, you don't know. So I'm just saying, I haven't thought to ask anyone if they've had sex with an animal before. That's just not my normal part of a conversation.
Yeah.
So
right.
I'm saying,
that could be an insult to some
people. You say what now?
I was saying that could be an insult to some people.
Right, it could be insult to some people.
Acting as a half-sexual animal.
But as you get to know people, when you get to know people, stuff like that comes out. I don't care how much you think somebody can hide stuff like that. It's going to come out. You're going to see something. Something crazy. Somebody going to say family. You're going to, if it's something that's obscene, it's going to come out. But
right.
Stuff like
Yeah, you're true.
Yeah, the peeing on you, the peeing type stuff. There are some people that are really into that type of stuff. I don't even think that's a big deal if that's what you're into. But I do need to know it because I may not be into it. And that's really the main reason why I need to know it. Because I may not be into it.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pose a question. So at what point, okay, you're dating someone. At what point, I mean, you're dating you're conversing and sexual, you know, communication and everybody's feeling everybody. Both parties have this mutual sexual tension with each other, and you still can't quite figure them out. Their chemistry in the bedroom, and and so, like I said, you still haven't figured them out. So, at what point do you sleep with that person to be comfortable with saying, oh, I know that, quote unquote, you know, this is just me as an example. Oh, I know Mika likes it, like, you know, she'll be climbing up the wall if I did it like this or did it like that. You know, at what point do you sleep with somebody and you can say, oh, this person is, she's like a lion in the bedroom, or she's like a tiger in the bedroom, or she's just like a pillow princess, or she's just aggressive and I could just be submissive. You know, at what point do you do that? Because you don't know until you actually engage in it. You can't say, oh, your daughter's like, she likes it like this, or she likes it like that.
Well, that's true. You're never going to know how somebody likes it. I mean, you know what they like, okay? So if you with a woman who enjoys, you know, she just enjoys laying on her back, she's going to, most of them going to tell you that. They're going to tell you that's what they like to do. They're pillow princes. They ain't trying to put their mouth on you in no kind of way. Okay, so that's something you already know. But when it comes to how it's going to be when y'all actually have sex, that's something you can't predict. No one can predict. I could be the best sex partner in the world. I could be named the best sex partner in the world. But that doesn't mean when I have sex with you, we're going to have the best sex, because it doesn't always work that way.
That's true.
And that's the point that I'm making. Like, you can't predict how sex, the outcome of sex is going to be unless you actually engage in it. So without knowing or without expecting what it's going to be like, you just do it. And then what it is after that is your experience. So you can't say, you can't go into a relationship or go into a conversation like we're having right now and say, oh, man, I slept with this one chick and she was like a fucking hippopotamus. She was like, you know, just, she got down there and she just, like, chewed my shit up. You know, you can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to know that. That's something that you're not going to know what the sex is going to be like. You're right. No one's going to know, like I said before, we could be the best lovers in the world to other people. But when we get together, doesn't mean we're going to have the best sex. That's just life. That's how life works. Just because I was a good girlfriend to somebody else doesn't mean I'm going to be a good girlfriend to the next person. That's life. We don't know. Those things are not predictable. So the thing is, you get to know the person as much as you can, and then you, as you naturally evolve and get with this person, then you sleep with them if that's where y'all headed to next. But that is not something you could predict. What you do in the bedroom, how well y'all do it, and all this other stuff is not something you can predict.
Okay, so I got a question.
What
if it's good to the receiver and not good to the giver, and the receiver wants it a second time, and you guys are just hanging out, and the giver is just like, oh, we're just going to be like really good friends because I didn't enjoy giving it to her, but she enjoyed it when she was receiving it. So it's like, how do you back up out of that situation to say, I don't want to do that again, but I know she does. So it's just like, you know, you're kind of torn because you know you didn't give it your all, but she felt like you gave it like 100%.
You know what? I've been in a situation like that.
And
really, and beyond what you, me personally, and first, let me ask you, are you talking about the same night or, like, later on? Because me personally,
well,
you gave it
to her one night, and then, and like, a week later, y'all hanging out, and she's like, I want it again. But you're like, oh, that shit wasn't good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you might have just come up with a reason not to do them. But I mean, because, I mean, and this is a pen too, man, because if she can compensate in other areas, then I might roll with it, you know. That's just how it is with me, though.
So you're saying sex is not a big issue to you?
Well, man, I got to be honest with you, man. Depending on who it is, man, it just depends. Because, like Mika said, man, everybody ain't that great in bed. And,
but you didn't receive anything from it. You gave it, but you didn't receive anything from it.
Receive anything? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of them things. So,
that's
you know,
something
I guess,
you have
I guess,
to... I, I promote authenticity. If you are having sex with someone and you aren't receiving anything from it, why are you still having sex with that person? It's time for you to have a conversation, and you talk to this individual and you let them know, you know, I didn't necessarily enjoy sex with you. And you talk about it. Is there something we can do to work through this? If this is just somebody that you're just having sex with every now and again, you just stop having sex with them. Simple as that. Or if this is your girlfriend or you're in a deep relationship with this person, then you may need to talk about trying something different, amping it up, see a sex therapist like myself, or you didn't make a decision on if you all want this relationship to go on. A lot of times sex issues happen in the bedroom not because of skill level, but because of something emotional going on in the relationship. But if it's just somebody you having sex with, a cut buddy or something, just stop having sex with them. I mean,
I guess it would depend on how much you like her, though. You know, it's easy for me to stop calling a girl. It ain't good.
Yeah, I mean, just let it go.
Yeah.
Y'all are heartless, but okay, I get it.
No. That's not
hard. Let me ask you something. How much do you like this girl? How much you like this particular individual? Because that would make a difference. If you want things to be better, if you want it to be a stronger connection, then yeah, it would require a conversation. But like you said, if it ain't no close connection where you don't care one way or another, you have two different ways you would handle that. If you want it to be a relationship, it's gonna have to be a conversation there.
Well, yeah, see, it doesn't matter if there's a conversation or not, because you really don't like this person. They're like 10 years older than you, and they're really wild and spontaneous, and you just like their company. And, like, the sex is not even a big factor. You just want some head every now and again because they give okay head, but you don't like giving them head because you're just real, you know, particular
about. You getting off the phone, because you know what? Let me tell you this. If you are not with this person and you don't like having sex with them, let them alone. Leave them be. Stop leading them on. Let them think that they having some good sex with you and they not. Just let it go. Okay?
Okay. All right, then. That's cut off and that's done. That's a done deal.
Yes. Let it go.
That's a done deal.
Hey, man, to a rainy day at least, you know.
Right. Yeah, you
gotta
put them in the back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you never know, man. Mika, you know, people have them days, you know. But anyway, yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, boy.
Y'all are hilarious. This has been a...
So what is the topic at hand, though? Because I don't even know what it was. I just came on and was just like, I'm going to talk about this.
You know, the topic was.
the topic was how many sex partners are too many, and is there even such a thing as too many sex partners, and does it matter? And that's one question I want to ask everyone who is listening. And you can press one if you want to say something, and I guess we'll talk about it. So, do you actually ask your partner how many sex partners have they had?
Yes.
And why?
I want to know how many, and I want to know what you did and where you did it at.
And where you did it at?
Why do you want to know how many, where you did it at, and all this stuff? Why is that important to you?
I want to know how many because I want to know how well experienced you are. And if I sleep with you and I feel like you're not as experienced as you are, as how many sex partners you said you are, then somebody didn't teach you something well. And I feel like you were just fucking just because you were just fucking. You're like, it was just something you wanted to do. It was just sticking in.
But you,
and that,
you know
kids.
That many sex partners do not equate to a good skill level. You can have very few sex partners and still be, you know, skilled at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
And
right?
That is what your question needs to be. At what level is your skill set depending on how many sex partners you've had?
That ain't just that my
who
question, though.
With.
I know, but that's what the question is. We're changing this shit up right now. How many sex partners have you had, and at what level of skill set do you consider yourself to be? Okay, I consider myself, when I slept with my first girlfriend, I gave her head. That was my first girlfriend ever. She was like, you did this before. I was like, bitch, no, I haven't. You're the first one. That's it. She was like, no, you have. I was like, no.
Now, you know, we can't call women bitches on the show, so you have to take that back.
I'm sorry, Mick.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't, Mick. I did. And she was like, yes, you have. I was like, Mitch, no, I didn't. And she swore up and down I did, and I was like, damn, I'm just really good like that. I'm really good at what I did, you know? Like, what
Lord
I
was. Have mercy. This is not a test of your skill level. This was
no, I understand what you're saying, but it compares to the quality. It compares to the quality. I only had been with her. The quality of my sex was like expert. It was like advanced expert. And she compared it to, oh, you've been with more than one woman. So it really doesn't matter how many women you've been with. It's just a matter of knowing what you've done, what you can do, and what you're capable of, period.
Well, that's the reason why I asked you why is it important how many people who, why is it important how many people your partner has had sex with? And let me put a pinpoint in you. We're pinpointing you. And I'm about to bring on somebody else. So I'll bring you back on in just a second. So I have somebody that pressed 7005. 7005, you're on. Hello? Okay, well, maybe they don't know they're on. 7005?
Yeah, this is Nubia Black. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a new bit of Black, and I'm calling in roughly the subject y'all having. It says, how many sex parties are too many?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember.
You don't?
And that's what I think. Well, they don't remember how many sex parties they had. That's too many.
So it could be 50. As long as they remember it was 50, it's okay.
Because first of all, in a relationship, I'm not gonna ask how many sex partners you had.
Okay.
You know, not in the beginning. And I think I was listening, and someone was said about that take time in a relationship, you find out who that person is. But you know, that's a good answer, but it could be a bad answer also.
Well, I was the one who said that.
Okay,
because
you can like a person, you can like a person so much. And the more they talk, the more you dislike them.
That's true. That's the reason why you need to get to know people before you develop serious relationships and serious sexual relationships with them. Because you're right. The more they talk or the more you get to know them, the less you like them.
It can be. But anyway, that's why I'm calling in and let you know that's what I think. How many sex partners is too many when they don't remember?
I agree. When you don't remember, definitely.
So Nubian Black, let me ask you a question, Nubian Black. So if you dated a woman, she voluntarily told you that she was promiscuous and she just gave you a wild number like, I've had sex with 100 guys in my lifetime, how would you feel about that woman?
I said, do you have an HIV card?
Okay.
Yeah,
so would you be now, what if she was clean? What if she was clean? She didn't have any STDs, but she had sex with over 100 and some people in your city, right? Maybe some guys you even know, but you don't know this. You don't know this yet. But if her car was clean and she was a cool person, you seen and she wanted to get in a relationship, will you be in a relationship with a person who has sex, who openly tells you she has sex with over 150 guys in your city?
Yeah, it all depends on what the type of person she are. If she carry herself in a ladylike manner and present herself in a ladylike manner, and I never would have known if she would have told me, yes, I probably would. Then I probably even like her better for being honest with me.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great answer. I think one of the other callers stated that, too. It depends on how the woman carries herself.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times right now today in this society, you know, I hear about hoochie mamas and all these type of things. But the deal is, though, some women are dressed like that not because they're hoochie mamas, because they feel good about themselves. When I see a good-looking woman with the breasts all sticking out, ass all poking out, and I think they feel good about themselves, you know. So if they feel good about themselves, you can't criticize them. They might not be no whore. They might not be no stripper. That's just how they feel about themselves, so they're going to dress according to how they feel. They know they look good, so they're going to stress it. So that's a whole different ball game too. But anyway, like I said, how many? Well, you don't know.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. You made some great points, and we appreciate it. And when I do, I am going to do a show on the way a woman carries themselves. It's going to be a little bit deeper, but I will do a show on that, and hopefully Keith will make sure you're invited, and I'll make sure you're invited too. So
that'll be good.
All right.
All righty.
Have a good night.
All righty. You
all right,
too. Thank you. So first off, and I hate to tell some of y'all this, but I have to, because my mom cracks me up. She sits and listens to all of my shows, and she has commentary for everything that is being said. And one day, I will read some of the stuff that she said. I'm gonna let y'all know what she said about this. She said, "I think the name of the topic should be, what's your favorite sex act and position? And by the way, have you ever done it with a horse or a dog?"
Yeah, that would be crazy. Interesting.
She has me cracking up when she talks, because she listens to the show and she always comments. So, Mother, I know you're listening, and I appreciate you. And thank you for allowing me to be sexually open. And, you know, I don't feel no shame. So I appreciate it. So anyway, let me bring back on our caller, because I don't know what else she got to say, but I want to make sure she get her last words out, because we're getting ready to wrap the show up. It looks like we have had Keys, this and the show from last week were two very, you know, controversial topics, I suppose. So we may have to do a part two on both of these shows. What you thinking?
Well, that'll be good. That'll be good to get more people involved with it.
Yeah, it seems like people have a lot to say, and some folks are really passionate.
Right.
About this. And I didn't think that it would be so much passion involved
this
in people's opinions regarding this topic. You say what now?
This is good stuff to talk about, though.
Yeah, it's good stuff to talk about. That is what, you know, the G-Spot is all about. It's just really bringing up different issues, different thoughts, and things that we want to talk about but we don't, or things
right.
that we should talk about and we don't in our community. So that's what we are about. And 8289, you're back on if you want to say your final words before I wrap up the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, first of all, I want to apologize to your mom for calling the women a Mitch.
Well, see, you're not, thank you for apologizing to her, but the thing is, this is a very feminine show, and, you know, my audience know I don't do too well with the word bitch. For, you know, with women being called bitches. So, you know, I don't care if you do it in your personal life. That's your life. But on the show, I do like for us to be, you know, respectful in that aspect of it. I know we talk about a lot of sexual things, but when it comes to that word, I do like to kind of keep it out of the show if possible.
Yeah, I understand. I apologize, Mom. But I do want to just elaborate on what Shonda said. I really respect and applaud what she said, because, like I said, it's not about the quality but about the quantity and the things that you have done and engaged with that person in. But
I
just want to say that, you know, I don't know if something that you really want to know is what you want to – the things that you ask is what you want to know. So sometimes just leave it to the imagination. And if you feel like you know, like this is what they've done before, then you just may want to just kind of alter the sexual chemistry that you have with that person, because that can kind of be devastating. And that won't be good for the things that you may want to have in the future with that person. So I wouldn't want to know, of course. So
I think that's a good point that you make, that there are some things, you're right, there are some things that we just don't want to know or don't need to know when it comes about, you know, some things. But, you know, I do want everybody to understand that a person's sexual history is important, especially when it comes to STDs and the things that they're out there doing. It is important, but as you get to know people, you learn the things that they're into. You learn the things that they like and the things that they do and the things that they want, they will not do. So if you're going to be the type of person that just engages in sex as soon as you meet somebody without talking to them about their sexual history, just realize you're taking a big risk. At the end of the day, you're just taking a big risk.
Absolutely.
So that's my final thought on that. Keith, did you have something?
No, I'm good. Good show.
Okay, good. So everybody, you know we're on every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the G-Spot with Mika Ray, the first, third, and fourth Monday of the month. The second Monday of the month is Intimate Realness with Mika Ray and Renair. So, Keith, you are off next Monday, okay?
Okay.
You get back on the third Monday.
Okay. I can do it. I guess I just have to deal with that.
You'll deal with that. You'll be okay. But you know,
yeah,
you can get a break.
I'll try to work with it. I'll try to work with it.
You can relax a little.
All right.
We've had some tough topics these last three shows, so they've been kind of deep. So now you can take a deep, you know, you can take a breather, kind of relax, and come back refreshed and ready to take on us women again. And, you know, of course, we do have some male callers, so I appreciate our male callers, too. And then every Saturday there's Brunch in the Basement with Javon from 11 to 1, and I'm not sure who's the guest this week, but she does have a musical guest every Saturday, and then I do have a spot on there as well, the G-Spot with Mika Ray, and then we have Nathan James that comes on and do all the world news and updates, and then on Sunday, there is Sunday Evening Shout from 6:30 to 8:30. So after we've talked about all this sex and everything else, you have Sunday. You can go and repent if you've done anything. You can go listen to some Christian music and get your spirit right and come back to me on Monday. Okay, and so we just appreciate everyone who listens to us. And you can listen to all of our archives on iTunes, or you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. You will see all of our shows there. I also post them on my website, MikaRay.com. And so with that being said, I hope everyone has a great night. I'm going to play one more song. So we'll play a song while we head out for the night. And you all take care. Have a good night, Keith, and caller 8289.
You too, Mika.
Good night.
Good night.
Stop a mattress, see it on the floor. I'ma need ya to do a little more, yeah. The shower is overrated, baby. carpet, I need some furniture. Let's get it started. Thank you.